In a world full of commentators and thinkers, few people are as respected as our guest today.
We're joined by one of the world's most astute thinkers and most important intellectuals of our time.
Professor Noam Chomsky, who teaches linguistics and philosophy at MIT.
The New York Times described him as arguably the most important intellectual alive.
I have never had a guy requested more of me in 12 years of doing two shows. I swear to God, every kid wants Noam Chomsky, and we got him today.
Noam Chomsky.
Noam Chomsky.
Ma prestigioso.
One of the most prestigious.
De esta America y del mundo.
American Chomsky. And world intellectuals.
Noam. Philosopher, social critic, political dissident, Noam Chomsky.
Noam Chomsky.
Professor Noam Chomsky.
Noam Chomsky.
We're here at the Travis Building on MIT's campus. And we're going to go up to the 8th floor and see Noam Chomsky and have a quick interview with him.
What is in your opinion, probably the number one issue being ignored by the mainstream media right now?
A lot of candidates, but right. One of them is that, it was actually suggested to me by a journal that I read from Bangladesh, which was talking about the fact that in the West, the crisis means the crisis of the banks. But for most of the people in the world, the most important thing in the world is not bailing out banks. In fact, the UN just estimated that the number of people facing severe hunger is just past a billion. And the World Food Program announced that it's got to cut back its contributions by 20 to 25%. Because the rich donor countries aren't meeting their meager obligations to promises to provide aid, which is, and the death toll from this is mind-boggling. So in Southern Africa alone, just children in Southern Africa, the death toll from hunger and easily treatable disease is beyond the level of Rwanda. It's Rwanda killing every day, not for 100 days, but always. It's a pretty severe crisis. And I happened to bring this up last week at a meeting. There was a meeting at the UN General Assembly on what's called the responsibility to protect. We have to protect people in trouble. So I brought this up as a good example of where you could meet your responsibility to protect. You know, you claim you're upset about Rwanda, about the fact that it's Rwanda-style killing every day, just children, just Southern Africa, multiplied by all over the world. Almost no reaction, including the South. Well, that's one example. But it's illustrative of a lot more, of course.
Right in our backyard, the professor, Henry Louis Gates, was arrested. What does that tell us about our media, the fact that it's really captured the headlines currently and that the president has decided to jump in?
Like the Bangladesh newspaper, yeah, you're right. That was a front page story, headlines every day. But there are other things related, and I suspect he would agree, that are a lot more important. So, for example, I just read a couple of weeks ago one of the most horrifying books I've ever read by Douglas Blackman, called, I think, Slavery by Another Name. It's the first detailed discussion. I sort of knew the general story, but the first really detailed discussion of what happened after Reconstruction. So, you know, there was a little period after the Civil War when blacks were allowed to vote, they got representation. Things seemed to be looking up a little bit, but then Reconstruction ended in 1877. And then in the South, but with the cooperation of the North, so it's joint, they reinstituted a system which was much worse than slavery. It was basically incarceration of the black population under a system of laws which essentially criminalized black life. Like vagrancy, or, you know, talking too loud, or looking at a white woman, or whatever it may be. So you pick people up, toss them in prison, they stay there for life, And that's what created the Industrial Revolution. Big, you know, steel, so on and so forth, mines, hideous conditions, much worse than slavery, for good reasons. I mean, slave owners, their slaves were capital, you know, they had to sort of take care of them. But here, it's nothing. You just rent them from the prisons. And the descriptions are horrifying. It went right up to the Second World War. After the Second World War, during and after the Second World War, there was a brief change. There was an expanding economy. There was a need for, you know, labor, skilled labor. So there was a kind of an opening for African-American men. They could go into the auto industry, you know, maybe get a decent home or something like that. The book doesn't go into this, but if you think about it, that period ended in the 1970s when the country moved towards a kind of financialization, you know, deindustrialization, financialization. There's nothing left for what amounted to poor immigrants. Like, you know, when my father was an immigrant in the early part of the 20th century, there was an expanding economy. He could work in a sweatshop and, you know, end up with his kid going to college and so on. That's now closed, and what's happening instead is that the blacks are being thrown into jail again. The incarceration rate, as I'm sure you know, has gone up from around 1980, just skyrocketed way beyond any other country, and having nothing to do with crime, you know, crime rates. And so if you look at the whole history, there's slavery, there's post-Reconstruction, worse than slavery, goes up to the Second World War, a little window, which was not beautiful, but at least there was something. And then back into slavery and prison labor and so on. That's the history of blacks in America for centuries. And so it is, well, you know, it's unfortunate that a Harvard professor got arrested, but to just compare the two cases, how much is there about this? And so this book was by a Wall Street Journal reporter, but it's not. But the whole picture and what it means is gone, and the picture is now different. It's the beer party today. There's a black president. It's all over. You know, we've gotten to a post-racial society. Have we? I mean, take a look at the history of the present situation. Right. The closing down of the auto industries, which is what's happening, it's essentially driving back the closing, the brief window. It's one piece of what's closing the brief window for most of the black population. I mean, there's an opening for Condoleezza Rice, Barack Obama, and black middle class, but there always was.